You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
This is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and we're here today on Thursday, April 28th, and I'm here today with my good friend Sven to talk about some interesting issues happening not only here in America, but also overseas in Europe, and a show that I think we're probably going to be calling The Left Begins to Eat Itself, or something very similar. So Sven, how are you doing today? And tell us about what's going on in the old country.
Hi, Matt. Yeah, it's been really entertaining. I'll give a bit of backstory to what's been happening. Yesterday, there was this Muslim MP for the Labour Party, and her name was Naz Shah, and she was suspended from the Labour Party for anti-Semitism. Now, apparently, a couple of years back, she put on her Facebook page, I know how to solve the problems in the Middle East. We'll send all the Jews in Israel to America. And she put a picture of Israel superimposed on America, which I'm not sure if that's anti-Semitism. It's just criticism of Israel, really, and the Jews in Israel. But this caused like a bit of a kerfuffle, and there was calls for her to resign. Questions in Parliament were said, and eventually she was she made an apology. She apologized for this, and I think then she got suspended. And then today we've now got Ken Livingstone. Stone, who is he was the mayor of London. He was known as Red Ken, and he's also in the Labour Party, extremely left, far left, you could say. And now he's been accused of anti-Semitism, and what he actually did was point out a historical fact. Now, what he did was say that Hitler actually wanted to get the Jews to move to Israel. And that's actually what he did at first. The Jews were moving to Israel. We all know this. It's called the Havara Agreement. But the guy that was chasing after him is somebody else from the Labour Party, somebody called John Mann, who went absolutely crazy at him, like an absolute madman, like a mad dog. And this John Mann is like a mad dog. He's like, I think maybe the Jews have brainwashed him. He's some kind of Jew MK Ultra operative or something. But he just chases after Gentiles that criticize the Jews in any way. And he went absolutely mad at Ken Livingstone. And Ken Livingstone was actually on air at the time doing a radio interview. And now Ken Livingstone has been suspended. It's major news all over the BBC about how anti-Semitic the Labour Party are. But just have a listen to this clip. This is a 2-minute clip of what actually happened, because it is really entertaining. I'll just play it now for people so that they can get an idea of what we're talking about.
Disgusting racist in the store.
Disgusting racist.
Rewriting
history, you're a disgusting racist.
You're saying it's not true?
Yes, you're a lying racist.
Really? Why didn't you go and check
a Nazi apologist. A Nazi apologist. You're a disgusting Nazi apologist, Livingstone. Rewriting history. Go back and check what Hitler did. There's a book called Mein Kampf. You've obviously never heard of it, written in 1925. You know nothing about it. You know nothing about what Hitler did in 1932. Dachau concentration camp in his first 50 days. The race purity laws in his first 100 days. And you dare say that Hitler supports Zionism. You've lost it, mate. You need help. Factually wrong.
No.
Factually wrong. Racist remarks.
Go and check your history.
Check my history.
That was the policy they ran on in 1932.
His view was to deport all the Jews of Germany to Israel. You have lost it.
Is it true or not?
You have lost it. You read the Nazi policy.
Yes.
You read Mein Kampf.
Yes.
What did Mein Kampf say about Zionism?
I mean,
What did Mein Kampf say about Zionism?
Hitler's a mad time, anti-Zionist. He wanted to kill all Jews. But his policy in 1932, when he won that election, was to deport Germany's Jews to Israel. And the Zionist movement had secret meetings with this administration talking about that.
In 1932, coming in, the first thing he did was set up Dachau. The second thing he did was bring the race purist laws targeting, as the state, Jewish businesses.
We all agree on that. Jewish Why are you denying what he also ran as the policy in
1932? That wasn't Hitler.
You're losing it. Do you maintain what you said earlier?
Go back and just check the facts historically. Yes, but, I mean, would people be angry if I said we were invaded by the Normans in 1066? You can't deny historical fact.
But those comments are described as inexcusable and you should no longer say
no fact.
It's a calculated lie by conspiracy theorists, normally neo-Nazis, and you're backing conspiracy theorists.
Crazy, isn't it? Absolute madness.
I absolutely love that. I mean, I love when the left goes after one another. I mean, that's the greatest thing. You know, the right wing. We're nationalists, we deal with some infighting, but I tell you what, I've never seen it more vicious than when the left goes after the left.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was live on air. He was walking along doing an interview on the radio on his telephone, and he's got this other MP from the same party, from the same Labour Party, shouting at him, calling him a racist and conspiracy theories and neo-Nazis. And basically, all he said was the truth. You know, there was this agreement to move the Jews from Germany to Israel. It's called the Havara Agreement. You can look it up on Wikipedia. There's nothing racist or anti-Semitic about it. And you can listen to the way that this John Mann twists it and says that, that Ken Livingstone is saying that Hitler was a Zionist. He didn't say that at all. And when they first started showing you this clip, they actually cut that bit out. And, they kept saying that, Ken Livingstone had said that Hitler was a Zionist. Which is not what he said. And basically what he did say is a fact. And then the BBC was saying, well, anything is anti-Semitic if a Jew says it's anti-Semitic. And this seems to be what they're trying to push. Anything the Jews don't like can be called anti-Semitic.
Exactly. And that's an interesting thing. I mean, of course, if you go back, because it's a multifaceted front here. But one of the big things, if you really look at it, is the idea that if the National Socialists had a plan to believe that every group of people should have their own land and that they were going to peacefully move, I mean, they were buying, Jewish-owned businesses and things like that at market price or above market price and helping them get passports and visas and everything necessary to be able to go and live in areas, outside of Germany so the Germans could have a German state. And they could go have their own land. You know, that doesn't make Hitler a Zionist by any means, but it means the idea of nationalism that every group of people should have their own, piece of dirt, their own territory for their own extended families. So the very idea of even talking about history and maybe even humanizing the nationalist movements of the 1930s, then that calls into question the rest of their narrative when it comes to the nationalists of the 1930s, because it's very hard to believe if they were, being kind and cordial and respectful in the early 1930s to then tell them, to then go to genocide 6 years later. It absolutely kind of falls apart. So we see here a lot of different implications of where they're, the hatred of nationalism is so deep. Anything that might even humanize, nationalists, in any, way, shape or form is anti-Semitic and racist. even if it's 100% factually provable.
Well, yeah, and it's going to draw attention to that fact as well. That was a fact that is not, we know it's there. We know it's on Wikipedia. We know it was exposed a decade or so back in Canada. I think it was a Jew that actually wrote the book on it. It's all factual. There was a medal struck, I think, with a Star of David on one side of it and a swastika on the other, honoring this agreement. And it's just never been publicized before. So now that this has come out, people are going to be saying, oh, well, he was lying, but it's going to be investigated and it's going to be found out that that was the truth. So if they then say that he's being anti-Semitic, they are admitting that facts, basically, are anti-Semitic. The truth is anti-Semitic. And also, when they look into it, they will see that that's exactly what Hitler did, exactly as you just explained then, Matt. They arranged so that these Jews could give their possessions to the German state. They would sell those possessions, and then when they got to Israel, that money would be then be invested to buy all the equipment that they needed in Israel to build a new country, like farming equipment, industrial equipment, and then they got the industrial equipment there to the same amount of their goods that they sold in Germany. And the Germans got to sell their industrial equipment to the Jews. So basically the Jews profited out of it, and they got to go to Israel, and the Germans profited out of it as well. And it shows that there was no, none of this idea of, oh, let's just exterminate them all. It was, you know, let's move them to another country.
Exactly. And that's, you know, what people don't understand. I've gotten into so many hilarious arguments online where people who say that only blonde hair and blue eyed people served, you know, in the Axis powers. And then you bring up, well, what about the Japanese? You know, what about the Arab volunteers who were in the SS? What about the Mongolians and other groups of people? They had Africans in the Africa Corps. You know, the idea that to go back and really understand the Second World War as a battle between nationalism, not, you know, the Germans were the, you know, the spear point, but there were people from multiple different races, multiple different ethnic groups that understood that globalism, communism, capitalism were a war against their people as well. And people around the world united. I mean, that's why the Grand Mufti, you can see pictures and watch a video of him going and talking to the volunteers that were going into the SS to fight on the Eastern Front. You had Muslims, you had Catholics, you had Protestants, you had Orthodox, you had, Shinto people, within the Axis powers. And it just fundamentally changes the leftist view of history, because they really try and promote this idea that nationalists in the 1930s and 40s just wanted to kill the Jews. They wanted to kill racial minorities, and they wanted to just take over the globe. And history literally destroys that. It truly breaks it down, because when you see that when it comes to a multicultural fighting force, the words that, of course, the left loves to talk about, the Axis powers had a much more multicultural and diverse, in the true sense of diversity, of respecting national boundaries, culture, and religion, but a more diverse fighting force than the Allies did. And, you know, facts like this we're talking about with the German view of the Jews is simple. It's the idea that the Germans and the Jews were not able to coexist because they're two separate ethnic communities. They're two separate tribes. And when you know, two separate tribes are in the same space, they're going to compete. That's the natural way it works. Where a folk is an extended family, you can work together in a form of socialism, just like the idea that, you know, as I brought up before, my household is socialist. I work, and my wife takes care of our son, and she cooks and she cleans. And, you know, my money goes to be able to provide for her. She serves me. We all serve our son. You know, that's what a nation is on a grand scale. And it's really revealed that that's what nationalists believed in, that that was the nationalist cause, to believe that each group of people should have their own separate land. We actually want to reduce ethnic conflict by respecting national boundaries and cultural boundaries and religious boundaries, and allow people to have self-determination in their own land, even the Jews. All the horrible things that the Jewish elites especially did, with the Treaty of Versailles during the Weimar Republic, the fact that the Germans were actually willing to sell at market rate or above market rate to be able to help them establish their own homeland totally destroys the leftist narrative of the 1930s and 40s, and that brings the rest of their narrative into question. So that's why they cannot allow it. And of course, as we were talking about before, it's always the Gentile defenders of the Jews and things like that that are the most rabid. It's just like the evangelicals here in the United States. They pathologically love the Jews more than Jews love the Jews.
Yeah, well, he's this guy, this John Mann, he is totally rabid. I mean, when Juliana Berger, or Luciana Berger, a couple of years back, she got a young nationalist jailed, basically for an anti-Semitic tweet, and people mobilized and sent all these really, really offensive tweets, because his tweet wasn't offensive, and she got him jailed. just for saying a typical Jew behaves like this or something like that. It wasn't particularly offensive anyway. So a load of really offensive tweets were sent out, and she got all upset about this. And this is when John Mann first really appeared, and he sort of became the self-appointed defender of Luciana Berger, the Gentile defender. And he stood on the floor of Parliament calling for there to be new laws brought in, how Twitter were going to have to change their whole policy. And they did try to get Twitter to actually change their policy. But he failed at actually getting any of these new laws brought in. But he's obviously really taken this to heart, that he should be defending the Jews. And he just went absolutely crazy there. And really, it's him that should be suspended from the Labour Party. I mean, how dare he do that? Just start shouting in somebody's face, shouting and screaming in somebody's face, not paying any attention to what they're actually saying, not paying any attention to historical facts. I mean, some of the things he was bringing up there, talking about the racial laws, the racial purity laws. So what does he think Israel have today? What does he think the law is that says that Jews can only marry other Jews? And if they marry an Arab, they're not a citizen. You know, that's exactly the same as those laws. And those laws are just sensible. If you want your ethnicity to survive and not to get bred out, you want your ethnicity to continue, then you should have those laws. There's nothing wrong with having laws like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Jews making laws that Jews should only marry Jews. In fact, I think that law should be really enforced. You know, I really don't like the fact that the Jews have married in to European families and wiped out our aristocracy. If we'd have kept to the original Christian laws we had, which said that Jews could not marry Christians, then that wouldn't have happened. So these racial laws that he was bringing up as being so terrible, the Jewish state of Israel actually used today. Another thing he brought up, this John Mann, this unit that he wanted the UN to form, was to find anyone that targeted the state of Israel as a Jewish entity. But that's what they keep saying the state of Israel is. It's a Jewish state for the Jewish people. So it is a Jewish entity. So it doesn't matter what criticism you make, doesn't matter how factual it is, doesn't matter what historical facts that it's based upon. If the Jews don't like it, they will scream and screech anti-Semitism at you and call you an anti-Semite and call for you to be locked up. And I think this incident here, obviously they're not going to show it on the news. They're not going to have anybody talking about it and pointing this fact out. But I think most people that are not nationalists, that don't know anything about this or are talking points, are going to be watching that and saying, well, what about anti-Britishness? Isn't it anti-British, these people that criticise Britain for the British Empire? What about criticising Britain for the wars around the world? If it's anti-Semitic to criticise Israel, then why don't we have an anti-British law? Why is it illegal to criticize Israel, but it's not illegal to criticize Britain? What's going on here? I'm sure that this incident is really going to make people start questioning that. Because, and why are they devoting so much time to it?
Well, exactly. And, you know, as we talked about on the show previously, you know, it's amazing that you have, hate preachers that come into England and throughout the United Kingdom and throughout Western Europe, who say they're going to overthrow the system, they're going to force women to wear burqas and things like that. They're going to destroy democracy, actively support terrorist organizations, burn the poppies that honor British veterans, and nothing happens to them, or they get an absolute slap on the wrist. But you send an offensive tweet to a Jewish lawmaker, and they'll actually throw you in prison. I mean, there's a clear double standard when it comes to the laws. It's the same thing, I mean, here in the United States, where I was recently reading the Washington Post. I mean, God bless them. They are something else sometimes. Did an article about the idea that women shouldn't be locked up at all because the criminal justice system is somehow biased against women. Of course, the vast majority of prisoners are male. And we go through all the statistics that, of course, leftists don't want to hear about. But they're trying to create a multi-tier system based on your ethnicity, your gender identity, your sexuality, all these things, where we are at the absolute bottom. I just saw yesterday that the majority of the teams from South Africa were just banned from competing in international competitions because they're too white. They're creating these laws to create this dual status, you know, where they go back and they talk about segregation, where they had, you know, white spaces and colored spaces. Well, now they're trying to flip that on its head and go far beyond anything that we had beforehand. In regards to this, the idea that majority Afrikaner sports that blacks don't play, like that's okay. Every group of people has different sports they excel at. They've got different abilities. One is not better than the other. But the idea that, for instance, a majority Afrikaner rugby team is being banned because it's too white is an absolute show that it's happening in South Africa. You know, in former Rhodesia, there's almost no whites left because of the laws that were enacted to displace them, to attack their culture, to attack their language, everything about them. Now they're almost all gone. And we need to understand that in Western Europe and the United States and the rest of the Anglosphere, that's what's coming here, that this is the beginning process. You know, when apartheid ended, for instance, in South Africa, they didn't instantly jump to these draconian laws. It's a process, but this anti-white hatred is here, and they are enacting the law. They are trying to lock nationalists up. They are trying to persecute us, and that's just something that's happening. And I think the best hope that we have, besides our own organizing and our own strength, which is growing by every single day, but also is really great that the multicultural coalition seems to be breaking apart. I mean, you were talking about how you've got lawmakers from the same party who are fighting each other. And in a hilarious thing I was reading just this morning on OK Comrade, the left-wing dating site, they actually had a huge debate and fight over the view of the Spanish Civil War, where people were saying, you know, if you're a Stalinist who supported intervention in the Spanish Civil War, don't message me. And other people were saying, well, that means you don't stand against fascism. And there was this big inner left wing fight, you know, even majority white, it was fighting over the Spanish Civil War of all things, you know. And then you've got the idea that you've got Muslim, you know, populations that are right now marching hand in hand with homosexuals. But when the Muslim population hits a certain point, they're not going to be in a coalition with these people. They utterly loathe, rightly so, that lifestyle and that subculture. So I really do see a future where, you know, the left is only united by hatred of white Christian civilization. And as we become, you know, a smaller number of the percentage of the demographics, they're just going to begin fighting each other, where you've got the super Zionists who are fighting the Muslims that support the Palestinians. You've got the Muslims that are going to be fighting the homosexuals. You've got the Stalinists and the Leninists and the Trotskyites who, you know, here in the United States, it's already a big fight. As, you know, we talked about, I think last week, that some of my best comrades are former Communist Party USA and International Workers of the World party members. And the reason they left is because they were all about socialism and the revolution against capitalism, but they were straight white men and women. And because of that, they basically were told that they didn't have a place in a socialist organization. So they became, you know, third positionists. And it just goes to show me that the left-wing coalition really is fracturing, and I think hopefully will totally break apart sometime soon. And that gives us a huge opportunity, because I can sit down and talk with a Muslim about being opposed to radical homosexuality, being opposed to abortion, being opposed to international Zionism. I can talk to a Stalinist at least in some degree about the impact of capitalism. I mean, there's a lot of things when they're a unified front, they're all just aimed at us. But once they break apart, there is a possibility to convert some and be able to deal with others, and then the forces that are just totally dedicated against us will become, you know, numerically smaller, which is a good thing for us as well.
Well, it's just funny to watch them trying to outdo each other in their hatred of themselves. I mean, because this is white people that are doing this, that are sucking up to these minorities as to who can be the biggest doormat for them. And this guy, literally, I think he would probably put his life on the line to try and save these Jews, if it was a choice like that. I really can see the Jews watching that and laughing, wetting themselves with laughter at this John Mann making such a fool of himself in his Judaphilia, this love that he has for the Jews, and no respect for his own people, no concern whatsoever for his own people. And this is what we see. We see on the left them all trying to outdo themselves in their hatred for white people and their love for these other races and perversities and genders in order to just try to make themselves look better. It's all about image, isn't it, really? It's about them trying to see who can be the best leftist, who can debase themselves the most, who can hate themselves the most, who can claim to have the most guilt. by attacking others who speak up about it and like us that speak out about these things and stand up for our own people, and then we are the ones that get called the haters. But these are the real haters. I mean, this John Mann, he was blind there with hatred for what he thought was anti-Semitism, you know, being anti-Jewish. But the point that Ken Livingstone was actually trying to make is that there's a difference between anti-Semitism and being anti-Israel. And what he was trying to say is, you know, people criticize Israel's actions in the Middle East and they get called anti-Semites. That was the only point that he was trying to make. But instead of that, because of all of this, it's now blown up into this huge anti-Semitism row, and it's not just between individuals. There are whole parties going at this. You've got David Cameron accusing the Labour Party of being anti-Semites in the speech that he was giving today in some hall somewhere. You've got other members of the Conservative Party that are accusing Labour of being anti-Semites. And the leader of the Labour Party has had to suspend Ken Livingstone for this. It's absolute... crazy.
You were making some very solid points about the idea of people flagellating themselves. I mean, in the Middle Ages, they go back and talk about how during the Black Plague and things, where many Europeans saw that the sinfulness they had fallen into was the reason why God was cursing them with the Black Death, and very well could be so. And, you know, they were flagellants, people that would actually, you know, fast a long time and even beat themselves in repentance for their sins. And they mock us Christians for, you know, doing things they call so backwards. But when it comes to politics, the left flagellates themselves more than any flagellant in the Middle Ages ever could on hating their own people, hating their own culture. And I mean, the hilarious thing, especially as you've got more Muslim MPs and things in the Labour Party, is the idea of calling them anti-Semites when Arabs are Semites. You know, when people tell me I'm anti-Semitic when it comes to the issue of Palestine versus Israel, I say, well, of course I'm not anti-Semitic because I stand with a group of Semites who have had their land stolen, you know? I mean, it's absolute insanity. And it shows me that the left-wing coalition is bound to fall apart because as white liberals try and outdo themselves, I really think the non-whites in their coalition are going to get tired of that. They're going to get tired of this condescending, where white liberalism is the most insidious form of white supremacism because it takes, you know, and bastardizes the idea of the white man's burden of paternalism and turns it into a political ideology to be paternalistic on these other groups of people who they say can't advocate for themselves when they do a very good job of advocating for themselves and running their own societies in the way that they want. So the white liberals are going to soon find themselves, I think, without many allies, especially as they decrease in numbers. Because, of course, they between the homosexuals and the high abortion rate, having kids, so I think the white liberals are a dinosaur in the making.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, they've got nothing that actually links them together. That they haven't got an ethnicity that keeps them together. They don't share anything. So what they have to do is they keep having to try and make their ideology all the more extreme. They keep having to try to outdo each other in their ideology in order to keep them together, to keep it interesting, because they don't actually have anything that it's all based on. They're just based together on ideas on paper rather than a shared ethnicity and a shared heritage. So they have to keep trying to make it more exciting by making the ideology more and more extreme. So that's all that can happen.
It can only eat itself. That's all it is.
Yeah, it can only just fall apart. You know, evil will eventually eat itself, and the left will eventually eat itself.
So the thing we need to understand, comrades, is that the left will inevitably destroy itself. Because when their ideology is based on the inorganic, where nationalism is organic, it's the natural expression of both God's plan and natural law, that we are the ones that can endure. We can endure war. We can endure famine. We can endure hardship. And that's what we're doing right now. We are enduring this hardship, but the left will fall apart because they're not based on the ideas of blood or culture or religion. They're based simply on waging war against us. And eventually, as we see already, they're waging war against one another. So we just need to be able to keep the faith, be able to keep our loyalty with our comrades and our families, and continue battling forward, because an inevitable victory will be ours, because it's our ideology that has lived throughout the millennia, and it's our ideology and our worldview that will live for millennia to come. So So thank you guys so much for everything. Thank you for putting up with some of the little tech problems we had. And, you know, I really appreciate you being here. And I'm going to be here tomorrow, same time, same place as always, with John Friend to close out the week. And then I'm going to be traveling to a party engagement this weekend and a concert being thrown by our very own Patty Tarleton. So I'm very excited for that. So keep posted. And for all my party comrades, just know that we have the first edition of Action, where we put the articles together and we're sending it off to the printers this weekend. So you'll be receiving that soon. And if you're not a comrade yet, go ahead and join us at tradworker.org. Get in to get our paper. We've got our party manuals. We've got, of course, all of the other swag that goes along with it. And we're organizing around the United States. And of course, to all my comrades overseas, you know, we're all fighting the same enemy, and the idea of same enemy, same barricades. So thank you guys so much for listening. As always, I'll see you guys tomorrow, and I'll talk to you soon. Hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.